And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're going to talk about a topic that may or may not impact you, but it probably impacts your children. Yeah. So this is a topic that may or may not have something to do with your psyche, how you conduct the daily business of your life. But I believe that your children have this particular symptom. I'm talking about something called instant gratification. It's the immediate satisfaction or pleasure derived from achieving something without delay. Instant gratification is a problem. It's a real big problem if you've got it. If you're going to be a real estate investor, you do not want to fall victim to instant gratification. Because in real estate investing, instant gratification manifests when investors rush into deals, they expect quick profits, or they prioritize short-term gains over long-term stability and growth. I'll tell you what, let me give you a little case study about what I'm talking about. And let's consider an example in rental property investing where instant gratification can also lead to poor decision making. You want to hear it? We're going to talk about a fictitious character. We're going to call this lady Emily. So Emily is eager to build a portfolio of rental properties and to generate passive income. She recently received an inheritance of $50,000, and she's excited to use it as a down payment on her first rental property. Now, she's driven by stories of investors who quickly replaced their daily jobs with rental income, and Emily wants to find a property to start renting it out as soon as possible. Now, she finds a property listed for $200,000 in an area that has seen some recent growth, but without conducting thorough research or having a clear investment strategy, Emily rushes to close on the property, hoping to start renting it out in a few weeks. But here are the instant gratification choices that Emily makes and the results of her choices. Number one, she rushed into market research. So instead of investigating local rental rates, vacancy rates, and long-term appreciation trends, Emily relies on general information from the real estate listing. She assumes that because the area has seen some recent growth, she'll be able to rent out the property at a profitable rate without issue. Problem number two, she's skimping on property inspection. To speed up the purchase process, Emily decides to waive a detailed inspection, believing it will save her time and keep her costs lower. However, this means she doesn't discover issues like outdated plumbing, a worn-out HVAC system, and poor insulation, which will require repairs and increase her maintenance costs in the future. Problem number three, she's over-leveraging with a minimal down payment, but this means she has a higher mortgage and monthly payments. And because she's focused on acquiring multiple properties quickly, she doesn't consider the risk of a high mortgage-to-income ratio if she encounters vacancies or unexpected costs. And the fourth problem that she's got, she's underestimating resident management costs. So Emily decides to handle resident placement herself without the use of a property manager. Now, when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, that's not a problem, but Emily's not a member of Lifestyles Unlimited for this example, and quickly finds a resident to move in. But unfortunately, the resident ends up being unreliable, starts missing payments, and causes property damage, adding to Emily's expenses and reducing her cash flow. Emily begins to encounter issues almost immediately. The resident requires several reminders to pay rent, and after a few months, they stop paying altogether. The eviction process takes time, adding legal costs and leaving the property vacant. When Emily finally regains possession, she faces repair costs from the damage left behind. Additionally, due to Emily's high monthly mortgage payments, the property's cash flow turns negative. She is forced to cover the mortgage out of her own pocket for several months, and the money she saved by putting down only 10% on the property is quickly depleted by repairs and lost rental income. Now, if Emily had done proper market research, she would have known about the local rental rates. She would have known about vacancy rates. She would have known about neighborhood trends. And she would have enabled herself to make a more informed decision. Here's another thing that Emily could have done better. If she had taken the time to carefully screen residents, she would have reduced the risk of non-payment and property damage and would have preserved her cash flow and in the process, probably would have avoided costly repairs. Now, this example of Emily highlights the dangers of rushing into rental property investment. If Emily had prioritized due diligence and patience, she could have selected a property with stable cash flow if that's the kind of investing she wanted to do. She could have conducted a thorough resident screening process. Regardless of what she bought, she should have done that. And she could have built a more resilient investment. But by focusing on quality over speed, real estate investors like Emily can achieve steady long-term rental income while avoiding costly mistakes driven by instant gratification. Instant gratification. There it is again. Instant gratification. So why am I talking about instant gratification on today's show? Well, here's the reason I'm doing it. I'm looking for an apartment community to buy. If you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know I'm an aspiring lead investor with Lifestyles Unlimited. That doesn't mean I'm buying anything on behalf of Lifestyles Unlimited. Anything that I buy is on behalf of myself and my own investment management company. And in doing so, I am planning to make that investment available to other Lifestyles Unlimited members that are a part of my program, my membership level. And in doing so, all of us will have an opportunity to invest in property that's going to give us things like cash flow, equity capture, natural appreciation, principal pay down, tax advantages. And because we're doing multifamily, it gives us the ability to force appreciation on the asset. Now, I realize some of these terms that I just used are lost on some of you, but don't worry about it, because at the end of the day, we'll eventually either get back to those terms, or as you continue to listen to this radio show and future broadcasts of this radio show, you'll start to pick up on all of these things, because we talk about all of these things. And when I say we, it's not the mouse in my pocket and myself. It's myself. It's Andy Webb. It's Mike Harrison. They're my fellow co-hosts on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And our sister program, which is the Del Walmsley Radio Show. These are all a part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network, and they're all designed to help you become better real estate investors. Yeah, that's what we do. So let's get back to this discussion of instant gratification. Let's talk a little bit about the psychology, shall we? The psychology of instant gratification centers on our brain's preference for immediate rewards over delayed ones. It's driven largely by the brain's reward system and our emotional impulse. In real estate investing, instant gratification can lead to rushed decisions for the desired quick profits, which can be financially harmful. So before I get into some of the different aspects of why instant gratification is psychologically a bad thing for us as real estate investors, I want to finish my point about what I'm doing as a lead investor and what I've been up to. Now, I am not soliciting anybody to be in any of my deals. I want to be very clear about that. I'm just giving you a report card on what I've been up to, what my management company has been up to with regards to finding the right real estate asset to put into our portfolio. Here's my results so far. I have reviewed over 50 different properties. In other words, I have looked at 50 different properties, and I've made a decision as to whether or not I will analyze the property or I won't analyze it. So what goes into that screening process? Well, what goes into that screening process is I take a look at the unit mix of the property, and then I take a look at the physical location of the property. If I don't like either of those two things, I eliminate that property from consideration. So it never makes it to the analysis phase. Does that make sense? So I'm screening out stuff that I know is not going to work right up front. So that allows me to get to the analysis phase, in which case what I do is I spend some time, and I do spend some time going over all the financials of the opportunities that are presented to me. I'm looking at the T12. I'm looking at the rent roll. I'm looking at the offering memorandum. I'm trying to get as much information as I can on the asset. But before I go to the asset, before I do anything, I want to make sure that the asset will work financially for my investing strategy. And I have eliminated many properties because when I look at their financials don't support the financials that I need in order to make a profitable investment property. So I tend to eliminate the majority of the properties that I analyze. Now, some of the properties, they make it to what I call the LOI list. What's an LOI list? Okay, an LOI list is a letter of intent. What it means is that I've got enough information about this property that I'm interested in buying the property. But instead of drawing up a very long drawn out purchase contract, what I do is I go to my broker, my real estate broker. I've got one of those and he's on my team. And I say, hey, Steve, let's do an LOI. So he'll put together a letter of instruction or a letter of intent together. And what it will do is it will outline what I'm willing to do. When we come back from the break, more on the LOI. Stick around.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so by talking about instant gratification. Instant gratification is something that you need to avoid if you're a real estate investor. As we were going to break, I was giving you kind of a lowdown of what I've been up to for the last 3+ months since I made the decision to become a lead investor as part of the Lifestyles Unlimited community. So I have reviewed more than 50 different properties. More than 50 different properties have come into my inbox for my consideration. And some of those properties I've eliminated. I've screened them out. And here's what I do to screen them out. If they don't have the right type of unit mix, in other words, the right collection of the type of units, either one bedroom, one bath, two bedroom, one bath. See where I'm going with that? So it's got to have the right unit mix for what I'm looking for. The other thing I look at, I want to know where the property is physically located. If the property is in an area that I have already decided I do not want to invest in, I eliminate the property. Number one, if it is just a crime infested part of the city or the township or whatever it is, I'm not interested in correcting crime problems that have been going on probably for years and probably will go on while I'm trying to own and operate the property. I will not invest in that location. Another thing I look at is whether or not the justice of the peace is pro-landlord or pro-resident. I might have to do an eviction on the property. Now, I'm going to do everything in my power to avoid eviction because I just don't like the process of eviction. What I want to make sure is that the judge is following the law. And the law normally says that if the resident doesn't pay, then the landlord gets the ability to have the resident removed and the landlord gets the property back vacant. But I've analyzed about 30 different properties. So why have 30 properties, why have they not worked out? Let me give you some common reasons as to why the properties didn't work out. And the number one thing is the financials didn't work. They didn't work. The information that was provided by the owner of the property based on their T12, based on their rent rolls, compared to what they're asking for the asset, none of it jives. See, I work through something that we call an MFQA. And you're going, MFQA, that sounds like a dirty acronym. What is MFQA? MFQA is a multifamily quick analysis worksheet something or other. I don't know. I forgot the acronym actually stands for. But what it is, it's a tool that we as Lifestyles Unlimited members use to do a quick analysis of a property to determine whether or not the property may make sense for us financially or whether we should eliminate it. Now, the 30 different properties that I've actually looked at, I would say that I've eliminated probably about a third of them just based on the financials not working out on the first look. Yeah, everything was out of whack. Nothing made sense. I couldn't figure out how to make money if I were to buy the property at the seller's asking price. So as a result of that, I just had to say, you know what? I'm out. I've got to move on. I can't afford to pay what this person is asking for the asset because the numbers don't support it. Does that make sense? Okay, so what about the 70% that I do actually analyze? Okay, that I actually do get into full analysis with. Well, what I'm doing at that point is I'm digging into the details. I'm going to the taxing agency and I'm finding out exactly what their real estate taxes are. I'm getting with my lender. I'm finding out what they're willing to lend on the asset based off of the T12 and the rent roll that the owner of the property provided to me. I'm getting with my insurance person. I want to find out what it's going to cost to insure the property because your two major expenses. Now, I know I just jumped gears on you, but let me just point this out. Your two major expenses with real estate investing are taxes and insurance. So you got to get your arms around those things. You have to understand what those impacts are on your deal because rising taxes and rising insurance rates can kill your deal. And trust me, I know this because I've killed some deals based on the fact that I got the information back from my lender. I got the information back from the tax office. I got the information back from the insurance guy. And when I plugged everything in, nothing worked. Now, if I do get to a point where I've done the financial analysis, I've gotten my research back, I've plugged everything in, and everything's still working, everything still is making sense to me, what do I do next? Well, I go to something called the LOI stage. What's the LOI stage? It's a letter of intent, or sometimes it's called letter of instruction, but it's usually called letter of intent. And what it does for me is it allows me to take the big major deal points and put them down in a one-page document. And basically, I can say, Mr. Owner of the property, I'm looking to buy your property. I can pay X amount of dollars for a price. This is what I want to do as far as financing. This is what I want to do as far as closing. These are the documents that I need from you that I'm missing, that I need to finish my analysis with. And I can put in whatever relevant points that I want to put into the LOI, and then we send it off to the owner for their consideration. If the owner of the property likes the LOI, they can accept the LOI, in which case then we go to the full-blown formal contracting piece. We actually write out a contract. We bring in attorneys. We do everything that we need to do to write out the right contract for our investment opportunity, and then we send that contract to the seller. If the seller approves the contract, then we've got a contract. Now we're going through feasibility. Now we're going through a lot of other things that prepare us for becoming the owners of that property. Does that make sense? Now, nowhere in my discussion in this segment have I really talked about instant gratification, have I? Because everything that I'm talking about is a time-intensive type of process. It is a methodical process. But what I really want to point out is that I avoid instant gratification when I'm doing my screening process, when I'm doing my analysis process, because I have business rules that I am going to follow. Those business rules prevent me from falling victim to instant gratification. Instant gratification in real estate can lead to risky decisions, often with severe financial consequences. So why don't we talk about some of the dangerous things that are out there and what can go wrong? I mean, because what could go wrong with instant gratification, right? Well, first of all, you run the risk of overpaying for properties. Investors focused on instant returns may rush to close deals, which can lead to overpaying. You could possibly ignore the due diligence process. Due diligence involves inspecting properties, understanding the local market, assessing potentials for repairs and renovations, and analyzing rental or resale values. Investors that seek quick returns might skip these steps and risk undiscovered issues like structural damage or local zoning limitations, which could lead to unexpected costs and prolonged timelines. See, a lot of the bad news stories that you hear about real estate, oh, I got into real estate and it was just bad. It's just one problem after another. If you analyze the why, I think it all dials back to the due diligence. They did not know how to do due diligence correctly, and it bit them in the hindquarters. I'm serious about that. What about this danger? Focusing on short-term gains over long-term potential. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Real estate is generally a long-term investment with substantial gains usually achieved over a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, depending on how you structure the investment itself. However, those focused on immediate profits might neglect properties with strong long-term appreciation potential in favor of quick flip properties that promise a short-term boost but might underperform over time. Yet, stop watching HGTV. That is not how you invest in real estate. It's not investing. Investing is not a job. Investing is passive income. Flipping is not passive income. Flipping is you putting in the work to generate the money. So it's not passive, it's active. Does that make sense? What about the danger of over-leveraging to accelerate deals? What does that mean? Well, you might finance too many properties too quickly or take on high interest loans to fund rapid acquisitions, and it's common when seeking instant returns. But this can lead to significant debt if the market turns or property values stagnate. High leverage also increases vulnerability to vacancies and slow rental markets, creating a cycle of debt. It's hard to break, but you can avoid that by knowing what to do right up front, by not being a victim of instant gratification. But here's another problem with instant gratification: underestimating market fluctuation. The real estate market can fluctuate significantly, and short-term downturns can derail fast returns. Instant gratification often leads investors to buy when prices are peaking, underestimating the risk of a market correction that could delay profits or cause losses when trying to sell quickly. So you shouldn't do any of that stuff. No, you shouldn't do any of that stuff. You should have a very well thought out, methodical plan going into the investment opportunity itself. And then when you acquire the investment opportunity, it should perform in accordance with the plan that you laid out because you did your due diligence correctly. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. What about this danger? Missed opportunities for compounding growth. Missed opportunities. Real estate investing benefits greatly from compounding, where property appreciation and rental income invested over time can yield exponential gains. And if you prioritize your immediate returns, that sacrifices the opportunity to leverage the growth, potentially diminishing long-term wealth building potential. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So what do you want to do? I've just given you all these problems with instant gratification. So how do we avoid it? Simple. Patience. Careful planning. Those are the keys to real estate investing. If you avoid instant gratification, it allows you to conduct thorough research, pay fair prices, and make data-driven choices, ultimately leading to healthier long-term returns. See, this is why you don't want to rush into something. This is part of the reason I'm not rushing into my next deal. Would I like to have my next deal in my inventory already? The answer is yes, I would. But let me tell you about some of the things I've avoided by doing things the way I do things. I have avoided overpaying for property. The one LOI that I did submit, it was rejected. What I was hoping for was the seller would get into a conversation with me regarding price. But here was the problem. Everything on the property, it checked all my boxes for everything that I wanted in a property. It had a lot of problems, which I was fine with, but it had a lot of upside growth potential. The problem was this: The seller understood what the property could be worth if you fixed all the problems that I uncovered during due diligence. But here was the problem. The seller wanted that price point in the beginning, before I had done anything to remediate that property. See, what the seller was offering to me was to do all the work, all the renovations, all the things that need to be done to bring that property up to standard. And he was willing to let me pay that price, that future price, today. You know what I told him? No, thank you. That's what I told him. No, thank you. I wasn't a jerk about it. I just said, you know what? I'm sorry. That price point, it's not going to work for me. I've got to get a lower price point. So that LOI, it just eviscerated. It just evaporated. It just went away. It's gone. It didn't get me any closer to buying that property. But what it did do for me is it prevented me from overpaying for an asset and doing all the work so that somebody else could benefit from the work that I did. Does that make sense? Okay. So this underwriting process, check this out. Here's a property that came into my inbox. Now, I'm just going to give you some of the particulars about the property. I'm not going to tell you where it's at because I signed a non-disclosure agreement, which means that I'm not really allowed to tell you what the property is, where the property is, how many units the property has, blah, 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 blah. I can give you some information that's just kind of generic information that will help you understand where I'm going. So let's do that. Does that make sense? Let's do that. All right. So this particular property came into my inbox, and this particular property, when I look at their 12-month profit and loss statement, indicates to me that they're making about $140,000 per year in profit, $140,000 per year in profit on this particular asset. Should I buy it? I mean, it's performing at $140,000 per year. I mean, when I sit back and I think about what could I do with $140,000 per year? I could do a lot of things with $140,000 per year. What could you do with $140,000 per year? I mean, you might be able to replace your entire income with $140,000 per year. I mean, this might be something that you might want to buy, because if you buy this thing, if you buy it now, you can replace that $140,000 per year. So you should buy this asset. See, right there and then, I got you ramped up thinking about instant gratification, right? I got you thinking about a particular number in this particular performa that may or may not have a bearing on future you. We don't know where this property is located. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you how many units this property has. I didn't give you some of the salient information you need to know about this property. All I told you is that it's making the current owner $140,000 per year. But how, in your mind, could you formulate the fact that if you just took it over, you too would make $140,000 per year, because there would be some additional costs associated with doing that transaction. So that $140,000 might go down unless you have a plan to bring that $140,000 back up. Sounds like we've got to do some due diligence. Sounds like we got to do some digging into this deal. This could be the next deal that I buy, or this could be a deal that I eliminate based on location and based on price and other factors. But at the end of the day, I'm avoiding instant gratification, and you should too. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.